And it was segregated. My high school was segregated. There were thousands and thousands of students there, and not a single one of them was an African-American face.
Were you aware of what was happening at Langley? I mean, just the work that was going into putting men into orbit?
No. No, no. Listen, I was in high school. I was a member of the Rocket Society, and I didn't know that. But what strikes me about this show is that it shows that what was predicted 20, 30 years ago, that the development of space would parallel the development of aviation, beginning with pioneers and government efforts, and eventually leading to the entrance of private enterprise to make it accessible to everyone, is happening. It was said that if the airlines were dependent on the government as they had been, it would cost you $500 million to buy a flight across the country. And taking that to its logical conclusion, the day's not terribly far away when taking a rocket is very little different from taking an airplane.
Thanks to the people who are resolutely independent while helping us produce this show, senior producer Gary Niederhoff, operations manager Barbara Vance, reporter Emma Bentley, and intern Sarah McQuaid.
Thanks also to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, and to the William K. Bowes Jr. Foundation. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit scientific and education organization whose scientists study the origin and nature of life, including investigating the geologic history of Mars. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to DIY spaceflight. If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science episodes, well, you'll find them in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener but prefer listening to over-the-air radio, because there's no internet in space, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, we'll consider letting them know you like the show.
There's no internet in space for now. That could be the next big frontier. And if you like listening to our show and you do so via iTunes, we invite you to leave a review on our iTunes page, and you can reach us directly with your comments. Just throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
And you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there. Or be square.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference. In 2014, the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers had as their premier storyteller Dick Gregory. We're going to hear a little bit of the introduction about that particular night event. And then following the lead-in, we're also going to hear a little bit of a follow-up lead-in by Dick Gregory himself. So first you'll hear Miss Sartori and some of the other storytellers, and then there will be a follow-up lead-in by Dick Gregory, followed by the interview with the founder of the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. And now, here is our trailer, if you will.
Okay, my name is Sartori Shakur, and I am the creator, producer, curator, and host of the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. We've been in existence 2.5 years, a little more than that. We started as an idea in a 45-seater, and we've grown to this wonderful event here at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History, and we are the Society of the Reinstitutionalization of Storytelling.
I actually was a storyteller tonight. The theme was patience, and I told a story about an event that took place probably 45 years ago. It was fun.
And I was telling a story this evening about the Detroit water struggle that happened this summer, and particularly about Charity Hicks, who kind of set that all in motion with when she was arrested.
We have Dick Gregory tonight, and he is 82-year-old legend, international. We're getting ready to go up for the second half of the show, which he will take the entire second half.
I'm here participating in something that's just incredible, the spoken word. It's nothing new. In the old days, there were no comedy clubs. It's going to be the same thing with this. One day, this will be bigger than comedy club, because people can relate with it. Huh? You don't have to go rehearse. You don't have to wait. You just stand up and talk about your experiences. You know? And in a room like this here, it'd be like this all over the country.
You hear them saying showtime in the background. We are sold out, standing room only. We're globally live streamed, so if you're in anywhere in the world, you can see us.
The stories that are told.
I'm here participating in something that's just incredible. The spoken word. Nothing new. The mothers, more so than fathers, speaking up with their children. It's called the mother tongue. All over the world. Not the man tongue. The mother tongue. And so we've always, as a comedian, the biggest joke you ever heard in your life wasn't from a comedian, but from friends and relatives. So it's that whole piece relating their experience. They're not told that. Thanksgiving. You know, people come by, been coming by for years, and tell you their experience from their way. Not the way a writer wants it to come out. And that's the importance about what we're seeing here. And I just said to Michael Collier, I said, in the old days, there were no comedy clubs. It's going to be the same thing with this. One day this will be bigger than comedy club, because people can relate with it, huh? You don't have to go rehearse, you don't have to wait. You just stand up and talk about your experiences, you know. And in a room like this here, it'll be like this all over the country.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. The following is a pre-recorded program and does not reflect the views of WHFR staff or Henry Ford College staff and members. Welcome to Impact, and this is Betty Daniels, your host for today, and we're going to be doing a live interview with a storyteller. So,
hello, everyone. My name is Sartori Shakur, and I am an artist. I'm a veteran of live performance and a social entrepreneur.
Okay.
I am the founder and creator of the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers, a live curated storytelling event that happened for 10 months out of the Charles Wright Museum of African American History, where real people tell true stories live on stage in front of an audience.
All right. Now,
our global mission is to connect humanity, heal and transform community, and to provide an uplifting, thought-provoking, soul-cleansing entertainment experience through the art and craft of storytelling.
All right, now help me to understand. Twisted Society of Storytellers.
The Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers.
Okay. How is that distinct from other types of storytellers?
The organization or?
Well, either or. All of the above. All of the above. So number one, let's go with the craft. Let's go with the craft first.
The craft is the craft. I mean, storytelling is a craft, and at the highest level, it's an art form.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing different about the craft. We work with the craft, use the craft to make the stories, the message, which is a story. You tell a story to use it to do different things, but mostly you tell a story to deliver a message. And so the craft supports message being clear,
okay,
and lean and mean, rather than rambly and lost in a lot of talking.
All right. So
there's no, the craft is the craft. Our organization is entrepreneurial, in that people think about storytelling like Dr. Seuss or children or films and TV. We put the story on stage with person generating the story, whose story it is.
All right.
It's different in that way.
Okay. Now, am I understanding you correctly that then now you are then more or less, I'll use the word specializing, but that's not the best word, where from the oral tradition of history and then it became a craft, are you making that kind of distinction, or is it something that, you know, that where the craft evolved? Because I'm thinking all cultures had storytellers. And
storytelling is the way people process experience.
All right.
Storytelling is the most effective delivery system of information and ideas.
Okay.
Everywhere we go, there's storytelling. You watch the news, you watch movies, television. Every commercial, it's all a story to deliver an idea, information, or a message.
All right.
And we do storytelling in the oral tradition, which is the speaker speaks on stage live to an audience.
All right.
It's not film. Actors don't act it out. It's not news. It's a particular form. It's the storyteller whose story it is delivering and telling their story orally.
All right.
People who are listening.
All right. Now, I heard you say, so there is, it's not a performer, whereas coming out of the theater, because theater came out of storytelling. All right. You are now coming to, I'm going to say, a distinctive genre of storytelling? The twist is...
Yes. It is a distinct genre in that it is the spoken word. It is the original generation of a story.
Okay.
So it is me telling you a story of my own personal experience.
Okay.
You can take that personal story and blow it up to a play, a movie, a film with costumes and makeup and all of that, but it begins with a simple experience being delivered orally.
Okay. Now, how did your, I know in looking up some of your bio stuff, you've got extensive history, either you were into acting and performing, that type of thing. How did you get into becoming, where you moved into becoming the storyteller specifically? And what was the travel that you made from that getting to where you are now with the, I'll keep on getting it, the Twisted Society of
Storytellers. The Secret Society.
Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. That's
the
a tongue.
Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers.
All right.
That's a story in itself.
Yes. And
that, Twister or some mm-hmm. fool.
Okay. Can you share some of that story with us?
Well, I come from a long line of storytellers. Old black women from the South who use storytelling to teach, to entertain, to inform, to impart, they're old black women from the South. They were masters of what they did. They could make going to the mailbox sound like Lord of the Rings in a story. And they told stories to us as children, as teenagers, and all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I am an artist, and so I started with singing.
Mm-hmm.
So singing is a form of storytelling.
Yes.
Stories are the lyrics are a story that are delivered through melody.
Yes.
I then expanded that. I became an actor, which is using a character to tell a bigger story of other characters playing different parts.
Right.
To tell a bigger story.
All right.
I became a stand-up comedian, which is storytelling that is delivered with the intent to have people laugh.
Yes.
I am an improvisational artist, Second City, so we improvise as actors.
All right.
To tell stories that we are creating on the spot that aren't necessarily true, but they just come from a stream of consciousness.
All right.
So storytelling is just part of who I am and how I grew up.
All right.
In 2011, I went through a crisis just like the rest of the world. Wall Street crashed. All of the jobs, or most of the jobs as an actor, dried up, like most of the jobs for everyone in this economy.
Right.
Dried up.
Right.
And I made a vow to do what I love to do for the rest of my life. And in that journey, met an organization called The Moth, M-O-T-H.
All right.
And The Moth is a nonprofit organization, just like ours, dedicated to the art and craft of storytelling.
All right.
And they do story slams throughout the country. And a friend of mine introduced me to The Moth through a story slam that was happening at Cliff Bell's at the time.
Okay.
And it was a contest.
Okay.
I threw my name in the hat, and I told the story. I won the contest. And from that point on, The Moth asked me to tell another story. I had to go to another level of competition, in which I didn't win. I came in second, but The Moth liked my story and how I delivered it. So they offered me the opportunity to host the Ann Arbor Moth Story Slam once a month.
All right.
Which fulfilled my objective to do what I love to do.
All right.
Storytelling is a love. So I began that process. Moth began flying me around the country, telling stories on the main stage and hosting their event.
Okay.
That's when I decided to use storytelling as the way that I was going to heal myself of the downturn in the financial market.
All right.
And when I learned that, when I began that entrepreneurial venture, I recognized Detroit and me were undergoing the same experience, which where we were making a comeback from a financial crisis.
Right.
Making a comeback from grief. I lost my mother and my son. And I learned that storytelling began healing me of those losses and those wounds. So when I thought about Detroit and I thought about myself as an individual, we were twins.
Okay.
So I thought if storytelling could begin the process of healing for me, perhaps what could it do for Detroit? And that's when I found the Secret Society Twisted Storytellers, and we had our first event July 19th, 2012.
All right.
And we have been producing monthly events ever since. It has grown now after we're going into our sixth year. It has grown now to a sold-out event of 300-plus people at the Charles Wright Museum of African American History. We have made partnerships with the Wright Museum, the Detroit Institute of Arts, the Historical Society, and other nonprofit art organizations in the city of Detroit. Our mission has extended into corporations, businesses, art organizations, individuals, and others.
I know.
Going forward, because there is power in storytelling, and there is power in the individual telling stories.
Okay.
People find the value and they're coming to us to help them tell their stories.
Okay. Now, am I hearing now that even within the genre of storytelling, whether it's a personal, how do you say that? Because you said it more clear than I'm saying it, where a person is telling their personal story and coming from their inner person. Then I heard you then talk about you working with corporations and stuff. What is there a distinctive aspect of that? I'm not quite, is it still a creative bent? All right, when you're working with corporations, I guess the question is, how do you apply this to a corporation? That might be the best way to ask the question.
Well, you were in one of my storytelling classes,
right.
Workshop, correct?
Yep. Yes, I was.
And that was at Wayne County Community College District, right. Which is an organization. It's an educational institution.
Okay.
So we go wherever any human beings are or corporations want to tell their story and teach them the basics of the craft and beyond if they would like, they want to go beyond the basics of the craft.
All right.
So if storytelling and being able to tell your own story is power.
All right.
And people aren't acquainted with that craft because we have lost touch with the art and the craft of storytelling. We have relegated and delegated that to news outlets, other people, but there is no one that can tell your story better than you can. And if you don't know how to tell your story, then you are less effective in getting across who you are, what you do, and how you would like people to be with that. So we go in to major corp. We work with Cranes Communications. Work with working now with a new economy initiative model, the Issue Media Group, and helping entrepreneurs tell the stories of their entrepreneurs and their businesses. We go into colleges, schools. We go wherever, historical society. We go wherever, Nambi galleries. We have a lot of organizations that we've worked with over this period of years to help them tell their stories as organizations, as corporations, as individuals.
All right. If I'm hearing you correctly, then when I was doing my, I guess it's my little thumbnail research about storytelling, I saw different kind of ways that they said there were 7 different types of stories, there were 5 different types of stories. But if from what you're saying, I don't want to put a word, I can't describe your, because I'm hearing you do all of that. You're educating, you are helping people. It's like public speaking, but it's more than public speaking. Are all these aspects of what the storyteller does, public speaking, motivational? I think I heard that when you were describing your interaction with the corporations and stuff, so that you are in the media field, but are you staying true to your original goal or your evolved goal, I guess I would say.
Am I staying true to my original goal?
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like you.
Our mission is global.
Okay.
Our mission is to connect humanity.
All right.
Heal and transform community.
All right.
And provide an uplifting, thought-provoking, soul-cleansing entertainment experience through the art and craft of storytelling. That's our live event.
All right.
So we use storytelling to connect. So we go in to businesses, corporations, we work with individuals to help them understand the basics of the craft of storytelling so that they can tell their stories. And through that process, we connect.
All right.
What's possible is connection, obviously.
That's the
first thing.
All right.
We then, through that, healing is possible.
All right.
And through healing, transformation is possible.
All right.
And transformation is becoming a newer, better human being.
All right.
Transformation is what we undergo when we take powerful, gigantic leaps and steps in our lives.
All right. Do you sometimes, when you are doing this, get overwhelmed with the type of stories that are coming out of people? And, you know, where it's like, you know, because they finally had a chance to tell their story, and they kind of like just, it's almost like they just throw out the whole thing. And how do you handle those kinds of things?
For example, would you give me?
Okay, I'll use myself an example. Okay. Okay. I started out telling a personal story, and it was the first time that I was encouraged to really get to the meat of the matter, to where I then backed down and shut down. Do you at times have a situation where people won't shut down, and they just kind of like almost give you a whole, almost like a meltdown, if I could say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How time.
Okay. How have you got through those kinds of situations?
You mean me personally or them?
I would say both.
Well, but, I'm there to listen.
Okay.
I'm there to listen, to help them tell that story. But if they've never told that story before, if they never explored those places emotionally,
mm-hmm.
then it may trigger, and it often does trigger, deep emotional responses, because they're unlocking memories that they've not visited before, or buried, or things they've not wanted to talk about, or pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the healing aspect, that they're getting it out.
All right.
So I'm there to listen.
All right.
And listen through all of that, so that they can, to give them the craft.
Okay. All right.
And to let them know that there is no judgment about what they're sharing, because they're human. And if they're human and I'm human, there's nothing that they can go through as a human being that it's not possible for me to go through. I might not have their same experience, but because I'm human, I can share. I know what it is to lose. I know what it is to win. I know what its pain is. So I'm there to listen, let them get it out, and then we start to put the story together where they have a distance between their immediate emotional response and the power to deliver that story, so other people can be released.
All right.
Similar things. Yes.
Right.
So there is no overwhelm for me. Big men who have served in the Marines have cried on every story session, and yet stood on stage and delivered that story, and sometimes through tears. But it's okay.
All right. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like in listening to you talking, I'm also going through what I went with my personal experience, is that you give them a tool, which is the craft, mm-hmm. to and that more or less keeps them grounded into the, you know, to themselves, but it gives them a way, a tool using the craft to walk or get through that experience. Is that a good summation?
Well, they've already gone through the experience.
All right.
They're just telling us about the experience they went through. So,
okay.
And sometimes people have, I had a woman, the Me Too.
Okay.
She wants to tell her story and as she was telling me, she was crying, she was emoting, she would then be clear. She was moving through the story.
All right, all right.
So it's like you've already, you know, my mother already died. I'm telling a story about it, but it brings up my loss.
All right.
It's not that they're creating the experience through their story. They're recalling their experience, and what they want to do is get some distance between the pain and the story, so they can deliver the story.
Right.
So they can heal themselves.
Right.
You know? So telling the story helps them. It also helps them not judge themselves. I've had young girls tell stories about being raped. And they may have started out totally terrified to tell the story, or they cry through it because it was a terrible traumatic experience. But after they tell the story over and over again, it becomes a story. It's not them. They're not shamed.
Right.
They're not. It's their story about an experience that they had.
All right.
And they can tell it without having to be shamed or be traumatized. That is something that occurred in their life, and now they're stronger for it.
All right.
So we look for the transformation, the power.
All right. Now, with your events that you have, is it the third Tuesday or which? How often?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you, because you get so many different stories, how do you go about, and I know there's this question that you ask, I was a part of that class, okay, where you ask a person a question, and then based on the answers, then they then went to the next step of, going to share their story on the this particular event. Okay, I lost track of my question. Okay, they say that's one of the first goals when you start to get mature. How do you go about making those selections? That's the question of who, how do you go about making the selection of who will be on the next storytelling event?
We have four storytellers on our show each month.
All right.
So I invite people to call, say they want to tell a story. People email me. I approach people. We usually have a curatorial theme. Each month there's a different thing, like a theme. So February event, which is February 16th, Charles Wright Museum of African American History, 8 p.m., the theme is love stories.
All right.
So the people that are telling the stories are entrepreneurs telling stories of their businesses, how they created their business. It's in the love the love story of their business.
All right. Okay.
And what it took to birth that baby, raise that baby, and have it be available for people to come and consume as consumers.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
anyone can come. We invite any person to come tell a story on our stage. I work with each person around the delivering the craft so that their story is 10 to 13 minutes. It's clean, it's mean, and it delivers their message in a compelling, entertaining, accessible way.
All right. So therefore, am I hearing you correctly then that the theme can change from,
the theme every month we have a different theme. And we have four different stories that relate to that one theme.
Oh, okay. All right. So then, if a person that is is up to wanting to share that theme, then that's how you make the selection.
We have the theme, and then the storyteller says, "Oh, I have a story about soul food." We hit September. The theme was "It's a Trip."
Okay.
So the stories were about trips.
Oh, and I should have been a part of that one. Okay.
We had soul food.
All right.
We had romance.
All right.
We've had social justice, fathers and figures. They're different themes, like movie titles or episodes or chapter titles. Under those themes, these stories are told, but the stories are not the same. They just relate to the theme. It organizes the story.
I see.
Around the theme. Yeah.
All right. Now, you said your organization is about 6 years old now, correct?
It'll be 6 years old on July 19th.
All right. Do you have I guess when you're working with creative stuff, it can go many different directions. Do you have a certain goals or things that you want to do with your organization, and if so, what are they?
What do you
see a certain thing that where you want to go with the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers?
Yes, we want to reinstitutionalize storytelling.
All right.
In society. So we want storytelling to happen in public spaces, in healing spaces, in educational spaces, in play spaces, wherever people are, so that people can connect and know each other better. Right now, you know, if you don't know someone, people say it a different way. I hear people say all the time, yeah, I just found out that so-and-so's mother died. You never know what someone's going through. You know, you never know what someone's going through, and because you don't know what they're going through, they may project a certain attitude.
All right.
And maybe they're projecting an attitude of anger or an attitude that's negative to the person who's perceiving that attitude. And then they find out the next day the person lost their brother. Oh, now you know why they had that attitude.
Right.
Because now you know their story. And now you can relax the judgment about how their attitude is. Oh, yeah, okay, they just lost their brother.
Okay.
Now, she doesn't speak to me. She's you know, she's really stuck up. And then you find out whatever you find out. Oh, you never know what if someone's going through. So if you never know what someone's going through, then you don't have the opportunity to be compassionate, to be of support, to give, to understand, to all of those things that can be available to another human being. But if you know what someone is going through, it's like in the case of what they're saying with the police department.
All right.
If the police don't know you, if they don't live in the community, they don't know that Mr. Jones gets drunk on Friday nights and sometimes gets his key. And instead of arresting him when he tries to get into the back door, they go, oh, hello, Mr. Jones, you forgot your key again? Who can we call?
Okay. All right. All right.
So it's like knowing who people are through their stories.
Then you are I really hear that is the status you are, I won't use the word, I'm saying the word driven, but you are guided by your mission. Your mission gives you the direction.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mission driven.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is the purpose. The reason why we exist is to connect, heal, and transform community through the art and craft of storytelling.
Okay.
And when those individuals are transformed, they can become leaders. And if they take their leadership and transformation into their communities, they can make a difference.
Okay.
They can make a difference. They can uplift the people around them.
Yeah. Now, so as how large is your organization at this point?
When you say large, do you mean number of people or?
I'm thinking as I asked the question, it's like, are we talking staff or is your organization staff and or members? How would you describe your organization?
Our organization, we're a nonprofit, a Michigan nonprofit 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
I am the executive director. We have a board of directors of 8 people.
All right.
Steve Gold is the president of the organization of the nonprofit board of directors. We have a production team of 9 that help to produce the live events each month.
And
we have a skeleton crew if we're going into smaller spaces.
All right.
We have volunteers, and we have in-kind support from communities.
Okay.
The different institutions that I named, but we're very small, but we've made a big impact on community in Detroit.
All right. I think you may have already said this. Do you see yourself moving outside of Detroit once you've gotten your mission as your mission? I guess, you know, because the missions don't really you can't compartmentalize a mission, I guess, when you get real start trying to impact.
Yes,
people.
Our mission is global. So
yes.
We have a global live stream. We're already outside of Detroit. People are watching our global live stream and our stories that we put on social media, YouTube, and other places. So people all around the world are watching.
All right.
And we have had requests to come to other states and cities, Chicago, Atlanta, Los Angeles, different places. People come from all different places with their families, or they may come to visit and they'll look on Culture Source and they'll look to see what's going on in Detroit, Airbnb. I'm an Airbnb host, a guide host.
Right.
So they'll come from out of town, wonder what there is to do, and they'll see our show. They'll come from all over the world, and they'll be in touch with it. And so we are, you know, making those kinds of inroads. But as I said, we're a nonprofit 501c3, so our major source of generating revenue is through our live events, through donations, grants, and foundations who we ask to give so that we can do more and deeper and more expansive work.
Okay. If someone would say to say that your storytellings are more or very much like a motivational speaker, how would you respond to that description?
Well, a motivational speaker, they are there to motivate people to some end.
All right.
And so there's an intention in the speaking, and the speaking isn't necessarily a story. They may include stories to deliver what they need to deliver to motivate the people.
Mm-hmm.
But how we use storytelling, we use it to uplift, to soul cleansing, and for it to be thought provoking. We use it to connect, heal, and transform. So in connecting and healing and transforming, individuals are inherently motivated.
All right.
To embrace that part of themselves that they need to connect, heal, and transform. They are inherently motivated when they hear another person articulate their experience.
All right.
Oh, I'm not alone.
Okay.
Oh, they are motivated when the storyteller imparts information where they may get help, where they may get assistance, where they may get support that they didn't know before. They are motivated just in feeling connected and feeling released and more expansive and open.
All right.
Then motivation is possible. Mm-hmm.
Do you collaborate with other organizations or groups that share a similar type of mission, but they go about it differently? And are there some other nonprofits that you have collaborated with?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Historical Society, the Charles Wright Museum of African American History, mm-hmm. Detroit Institute of Art, Wayne County Community College District.
Okay.
We've gone into the Detroit Academy for Young Women, Planned Parenthood. Anywhere a human being exists a story or stories.
All right.
So, yes, we've formed partnerships with a number of nonprofits. As I said, our February event is we're working with Issue Media Group, Model D, and
I say blame it to your head, not your heart, right?
Yeah. Well, what we're doing in a new economy initiative.
Okay.
So the new economy initiative is telling a story about creating a new economy here Michigan.
All right.
Which is based on entrepreneurship. Which bases on individuals who have ideas that impact the people who live in Detroit and beyond.
All right, now how does
they create products?
All right,
they create programs. They create stores that make themselves available for people to come and partake, consume, buy.
Okay, now you're already working with them at this present time, or is that something that's in the works?
Yes, I'm working with them. We are partnering with them. We partner with different organizations and businesses to produce shows. We work with Chalkbeat Magazine, which is a online publication that exclusively reports on the education and schools in Detroit.
Okay.
And they let people know the positive things that are going on in the schools, charter schools, public schools. So we partner with different organizations in Detroit to get their stories told. Yeah.
All right. Then are you then, if I'm hearing that, then you have, you're working with writers, you're working with...
Anybody who wants to learn the basics of the craft. So with these three organizations that we're partnering with for February, they have asked entrepreneurs to submit their stories so that they can have the opportunity to work with me and to present those stories in February. There were 80 submissions. Four storytellers have been chosen, and I start working with them today.
All right. Now, we keep on talking about your organization, but we have not given our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Can you give us some contact information of how they would want?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Our website is twistedstorytellers.org.
All right.
You can call 313-744-6037 during normal business hours. You can contact us by email at Society for Storytelling, Society, F-O-R, Storytelling at gmail.com. Phone number is 313-744-6037, and you can visit our website at twistedstorytellers.org. You can watch videos on our YouTube channel. Just search the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers.
All right. Now, you know, and I'm hearing there's all different types of...
We have a Facebook page, Secret Society Twisted Storytellers Facebook page, Twitter at Twisted Tellers.
Yeah. Okay. How did you come up with the name Twisted Tellers?
The Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers.
Right. How did you come up?
It started as a short story. I wrote a short story in 2009 called The Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. Fictional story about a society of people who could hear stories that most people couldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a society created to hear stories that people may not have been ready to hear. And it was, if you recall the story of Galileo.
Yes.
In 400 AD, he... said that the earth revolved around the sun.
Right.
And the king at the time said, no, no, the sun revolves around the earth.
Right.
And because Galileo had a different, his story was different than the king's story, the king put him in prison.
Right.
To suppress that idea. Now, we all know that the earth revolves around the sun.
Right.
That's a measured fact.
That's where we are today.
that's where we know science is.
Right.
At the time, people thought the world was flat.
Right.
Christopher Columbus proved that the world was not flat.
Right.
It was, in fact, a sphere.
Right.
So the Secret Society Twisted Storyteller in the story, in the fictional story, was there so that people who had free thought or they had ideas that people could not deal with at the time, so that those stories would be preserved for such time people could hear it.
Right.
You know, there was a time when people could accept, oh, yes, the earth revolves around the sun. Nobody would even dare question that now.
Right, right.
But at the time, it went against the king.
Okay.
The king was the god.
Okay.
The person who dictated reality.
Right.
So that was my story is about that. It gets involved. So in 2011, when I came back from having told my story in Boston, and I had the epiphany to create a platform for other people to tell their stories, it was a social experiment. I'm a social entrepreneur. It was a social experiment to connect, heal, and transform the city of Detroit and then the world. So it was based on that idea that people could stand up and tell stories that maybe they were uncomfortable or afraid or ashamed or feel they'd be judged to tell in front of an audience that could hear it, accept it, and not only that, stand up and applaud the courage of that person to have told their own personal true story.
Yes.
So I took the name from the short story that I wrote.
All right. It sounds like you never will have a lack of material for a story. It's like
there's many stories as there are people, and
right.
And however many stories that person is generating over the course of their day.
It's like every day you get up, you got another story that you can tell.
Yeah. Life is an ongoing dynamic process, and we're always learning and growing. And if we can share our growth and our learning, then we leave a legacy, a tradition for people to expound on and to build upon. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
All right.
You're leaving a legacy.
Is it as almost not reinventing the wheel, but contributing to the momentum of the wheel?
You're contributing to the evolution of humanity.
All right. Okay.
You know, if it took however many hundreds of years for Me Too, for women to come out and say, I women and men to come out and say, I've been abused.
All right.
I've been harassed. I have been subjected to unwanted attention from people that that have more power and who can suppress me and who can do harm or stunt my growth or prevent me from moving ahead.
All right.
So it took all these years for those stories those stories had been told, but they were not believed by the society. They were not supported by the institutions, those women and men who were impacted. And the stats are 1 out of 3, 1 out of 5. That's a lot
of
human beings who have been traumatized and abused by people who have the power to make their lives difficult if they were to tell.
All right. Now, when you were talking about the entrepreneurial, were you going into working with the organizations or people who are the business people who are trying, you know, telling the stories about their businesses?
Mm-hmm.
What has been some of the ways that it's almost you can go any many different directions with that? What have been some of the things that you observe with different types of entrepreneurs of when they're telling their stories and where they started from and where they ended or no, and how they begin to build or develop their business? Could you share some episodes of that?
I start to work with those group of storytellers. I start with that process today. But what I can tell you from my experience as an entrepreneur and having spoken and, you know, working with other entrepreneurs is that entrepreneurship is kind of like the reflection of necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
Oftentimes you will, like my story came out of being out of Wall Street crashing.
Right.
And the opportunities that were available to me before no longer being available. And it also came out of a deep, devastating loss of my mother and my son.
All
and
right.
My attempt to heal out of that.
All
and
right.
The discovery, the storytelling helped to facilitate that. So entrepreneurship often happens out of a need. Something occurred in that individual's life that had them want to create a business or create a way for others, or they saw a need for something, so they pioneered something. If you think of a nonprofit or think of anything, iPhone,
okay.
Smartphone was entrepreneurial.
Okay.
It it facilitated a need that people didn't even know they had. Before that, it was people waited till they got home to get to get their call. They weren't even voicemail. They weren't even answering machines.
Right.
If you weren't home, you didn't get that call.
Okay.
You could call waiting. All these were advancements in facilitating convenience for people.
Right.
How convenient can I make someone's life? You know, garage door opener. You push a button, the garage door opens. That means you don't have to get out of your car. So all of these products, services, and opportunities are entrepreneurial because they did not exist before.
All right.
And now they do exist. And in their existence, it helps facilitate other people's lives. It gives other people access to products, services, and ideas that they didn't have before and maybe need.
It's like the storyteller gives them a business plan, you know, and I'm using that in a very generalistic way, that in their telling of the story, they are then beginning able to pinpoint and identify different aspects, different levels, as you were just sharing, of what's going on. And then it helps them to organize their feelings and their thoughts into a workable or meaningful description, I guess, is the best way to say that.
So if there's a show on television called Shark Tank.
Yes.
And those are three people, I think it's three people or however many people come on the show.
Right.
And they pitch, which is to tell a story about their product or service to people who can finance it.
Right.
So if you're able to communicate your idea, the idea for the product or service that you want financial backing for, the more succinctly, the more compelling, the more you can make that live for the people that are going to give money to it, the more power you have.
All right. Okay.
So you can use storytelling to change the world.
But and it also it's helping them to change themselves, isn't it, at the same time?
Yes. That's yeah. Transformation.
Right, right. Because it's that, you know, you had these all these different pieces, but they weren't quite coming into a whole. But as you try to describe or identify what it is that's going on, it's like a self-discovery at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it puts you more in touch with you. It gives you more, it gives you a facility with what you do. It reinforces. It's just like writing a grant.
All right.
Every time you write a grant, you get more clear about who you are, what you do, where you're going, because you're trying to communicate it to people you don't know, may never meet. But if you communicate it effectively, it will motivate those persons to back it financially, or spread the word about it, or give it a voice, give it a life,
okay.
More life.
Mm-hmm. The stories that you tell, are they then also capitalized in a written form, or are they all remain oral?
Oh no, I'm a writer. I'm a playwright.
Okay.
And I'm oral. So it's all writing is speaking on paper.
All right.
So you know the way we write, we've all been taught to write exactly the same way. There's a grammar.
Right.
Which tell us how to put words together, what kinds of words we should put together to deliver a sentence.
All right.
So everybody has that and everybody can do that. But your voice is your unique way of arranging words to communicate ideas in an individual, distinctive voice.
Right.
And so that's different than writing.
Yes.
Because it's unique.
Yes.
We look for the voice of the storyteller, the unique way they tell a story.
And it's interesting that when a person is talking, they're able to choose. And I was trying to get myself to write. I've been writing this book for 20 years. But, you know, when I try to sit down, you know, put the first person, third person, trying to put it in writing, it just doesn't happen. But when I'm talking, you know, when a person is speaking, that first third, it comes out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Without
well, I recommend that, and that off. Yes, that's very true. I would record the speaking and then transcribe it.
Right.
And then you can see your words on the paper, and then you can, from there, you know, work with those words, manipulate those words, arrange those words so that they communicate on the page without losing your voice.
Yes, but now sometimes certain words do not translate on the written page. It's like somebody say, he sure is an evil, you know, you're really being evil right now. You put that in writing, it is two different pictures come up. You know, it's like, if you know the colloquialism, then you are able to identify with it. But if you don't, it's like something's up a breeze. You know, well, you put that in writing, up a breeze does not make sense. Okay.
Well, but, you can, in writing, you have the opportunity to explain it, because it's that statement is part of is encapsulated in dialogue.
Yes.
So you can pretty much. You could pretty much grasp the meaning of the colloquialism.
Okay.
Through the story of the dialogue.
All right. You know, and really, and I know you know you're on a certain kind of time bend. And we're kind of like we're getting into almost 56 minutes of the interview and things. But I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with my listeners, you know, about your organization. And again, give them the name and the contact information of who you are and how they can reach you.
Okay. And I want to thank you, Betty, for not only participating in the course and bringing yourself forward courageously, but inviting me to be on your show to speak to your listeners, because this is a powerful time, and storytelling is a powerful way to communicate any human being. So I thank you, and I appreciate we appreciate, you know, you reaching out to us for that tremendously. My name is Satori Shakur. I'm the creator and founder of the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. I'm the executive director of the nonprofit 501c3, which is called the Society for the Reinstitutionalization of Storytelling. You can contact us via email at societyforstorytelling@gmail.com. You can visit our website at twistedstorytellers.org. And you can call 313-744-6037 during business hours. You can find us on Twitter at Twisted Tellers, and on Facebook, the Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And again, you're listening to Impact with Betty Daniels and Satori Shakur.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the alternative energy program, please contact HFC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
Listeners supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is W.